do wish to welcome you all to this happy occasion, the induction and ordination of Mark Higgins to the pastorate of Hyde Street Baptist Chapel, Winchester. It's good to see many friends, family, colleagues here this afternoon, and we know that some have travelled long distances to be with us today. On behalf of the Lord's people at Hyde Street, I'd like to give you all thanks for coming and showing your support of Mark and of the church here. We very much pray that the Lord might be pleased to be very present with us during this time, and that his name above all might be glorified in all that takes place. Just a few notices to give.
Thanks, Mark. It wouldn't be a proper meeting if we didn't have a few notices, so here we go. Firstly, just to make you aware that this service is being live-streamed, which means it is also being recorded. So if you do want to see it, or you know other people who would like to view it later on, you can do so via our YouTube channel, accessible through the High Street Chapel website. Also, the side hall through here is equipped with a video link of the service. It's a joy to see so many children with us today, but we understand that it can be hard for the younger ones to sit still through the service. So if it does get too much and you have the need to take them out, then please feel free to make use of that side hall. There's Bible-based colouring materials and toys for the babies, etc. Also through there are the toilets. If you're not aware, the toilet facility is far corner, and that includes a disabled toilet and baby changing unit. There's also a kitchen, which for health and safety reasons, we would just ask that you please don't enter unless you are a designated helper. In the unlikely event of a fire, I have to say this bit, there are three fire exits, one being the entrance through which you came, the second one is just here on my left, and the third one is just through this door and round to the right. And the assembly point is the private car park at the rear of the premises. At the conclusion of the service, there will be light refreshments served in the side hall. I'll mention a little bit more about those at the end of the service. That's all. Thanks.
Well, as we come to worship our God and bring our hearts unto him, we read some verses from Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. We're going to commence our worship by singing the first hymn in our orders of service. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power.
Sweeping through us, revive
Let us commit ourselves to the Lord in prayer. Let us come to him. Let us pray. Our ever-blessed God in heaven, we come before you, the one true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We acknowledge the greatness of your being. We see the wonder of the created things around us. We see the glories of that sun even this day. And we know how all things are declaring unto us the glory of our great God. And we acknowledge that greatness of your being. You are that God who is perfect in holiness, wisdom, and truth, and great in power. And yet we thank you that you are full of grace, mercy, and loving kindness. And how we thank you for your great mercy and for that great work of redemption. We thank you that the Father gave a people unto the Son. The Son was willing to come and to do all that was necessary to redeem that people. We thank you the Holy Spirit applies that work unto those whom God will save. We thank you, dear God, for your dear Son who willingly gave himself to the agonies of the cross, redeeming his people. And we thank you he is redeeming a people in every age and in generation. He makes his people volunteers in the day of his power. And we thank you he is building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We marvel that we are found today as those who have come to know the matchless, wondrous grace of God. We thank you. We know the love of God. We know your mercy. We know your forgiveness. All our sins have been put away in your dear Son. And Lord, we are those who are clothed with his righteousness, loved with the same love with which you love your Son. How amazing. And we pray, dear God, that it might please you this day to be present here with us. We look to you, Lord, for your blessing on this occasion, where your servant will be ordained into the ministry of Christ and set apart to the pastorate here at Hyde Street Chapel. Be especially with Mark and with us all. May we all know the Lord's blessing, the Lord's help in all that takes place. We pray, dear God, that your name might be magnified. And we marvel, dear God, that we are able once more to put a man into the ministry. We realize, Lord, how you delight to use weak vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And we pray that you will uphold your servant in the days ahead. And we ask, dear God, that you might yet add many more men unto the ministry of the gospel. Great is the need, dear God, in this day. So we come to you now, Lord. We look to you for your blessing. Forgive us afresh our many sins. We thank you for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. And we ask then that your hand would be upon us and that you would hear us in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we know that Winchester is a very affluent yet very needy place. Many there are in this city who are rich in the things of this life, and yet they're without God and without hope in this world. And so we are thankful for this faithful gospel light that is here at Hyde Street in the heart of the city, and we're thankful for the faithful gospel ministry that it has received over the past 21 years through Pastor Richard Turner. I know Richard won't like this, never likes to draw attention to himself, but Richard's email, I won't give you it all, because I doubt if you'll want a lot of spam later on, but his email includes the phrase, "Richard, stand fast." And we are truly thankful that Richard has stood fast and been so faithful and preached the word in season and out of season with the support of Fiona, his wife, and with the support of the membership here. And we pray that Mark will also stand fast and continue to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ here in this place. I'm now going to ask Richard to come out and to read the scriptures to us.
joyous occasion this is, and a great privilege to be here and to read the Word of God and to see our dear brother Mark inducted into the ministry here. It's a great answer to prayer, many prayers over many years, and it's just a great joy to be here. Let's hear from God's Word. It's Paul's second epistle to Timothy at chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll read the whole chapter from the first verse. Shall we hear God's word? I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Antichicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Amen.
We now sing our second hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, Pilgrim Through This Barren Land. Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah. now going to ask Mike Gething, who is church secretary and deacon, to come and give the church's account of the call of Mark Higgins.
Well, I thought I would begin with bringing a brief reflection on the process that led us as a church to call Mark. This process began in January last year when our then pastor, Richard Turner, was made aware of a certain Mark Higgins studying at the London Seminary and invited myself and a few others at Hyde Street Chapel to listen to one or two of Mark's sermons online. And suitably impressed, this led to an invitation to preach for us as a church, and a first conversation between Mark and Richard took place in early February 2021. During March, Mark took two Sunday services for us, along with a midweek Bible study, all online owing to COVID restrictions. And those who are familiar with Zoom will know that one advantage of Zoom is that you get to see everyone during the meeting and interact after the service has concluded. The downside for Mark being that he got to see many strangers' faces on the screen in front of him, potentially a little overwhelming. Still, Mark dealt with it remarkably well. He was calm, relaxed, chatty, and spoke well. The response from our church membership was overwhelmingly positive, and on the 29th of March, at a members' meeting, the decision was made to invite Mark to preach on several further occasions with a view to a possible call to the ministry. Clearly, this was quite a significant step, and the members were encouraged to be much in prayer for Mark, for the fellowship, and especially for the Lord's guidance. On the 16th of May, following the reopening of the chapel post-lockdown, Mark made his first in-person visit to Hyde Street to lead our worship both morning and evening. Three further visits through June and July gave us the opportunity to get to know him, Debbie, and the three children better, and to chat informally. And it also gave Mark and the family the opportunity to meet most of the fellowship and make some home visits. It was, from our perspective at least, an encouraging time and one giving rise to optimism. On the 18th of July and again on the 22nd of July, Mark met with our pastoral steering committee consisting of three church members, including myself and the pastor. And the second meeting in particular was a more formal discussion / interview in which we covered all manner of topics ranging from doctrine and church government to family life and current affairs. The outcome of which was that the committee, as one, felt that Mark was indeed the right man to shepherd the work and flock at Hyde Street, and that such was in accordance with God's will. The committee unanimously recommended Mark to the membership at a church meeting 4 days later. On the 9th of August, the members voted to call Mark as our new pastor, and a formal offer was sent out during the weeks that followed. On the 2nd of September, to our great delight and relief, Mark formally accepted the position as our full-time minister to commence upon completion of his studies at the London Seminary. I'm very pleased to confirm he took up that position on the 1st of July this year. It's been a blessing to have him as our pastor here these past 3 months. That's an outline of the process by which Mark came to be pastor, but what I've only briefly alluded to in that account are those qualifications and God-given gifts which we believed were together a further and vital indication of the Lord's hand on him. Right from day one and that first Zoom meeting, it was clear that Mark was a polite, friendly and likeable chap. Approachable, passionate, confident in his beliefs, yet evidently humble and keen to learn and grow. Mark, we felt, was a man of deeply rooted faith and strongly held convictions, yet not unwilling to be challenged on these. Doctrinally sound and given to prayer. His preaching showed maturity, depth, understanding and a love of God's word. It was Christ-centered, practical and challenging, as well as having the potential for development. At the the time that we called Mark to be pastor here at Hyde Street, he was entering his final year at the seminary, and he was understandably determined to complete the course. The experience gained from that time at the seminary has clearly been of great value to him. But he also came to us with other experience of church leadership as an elder at Free Grace Baptist Church, Belvedere, experience of working with young people, both at Belvedere and youth camps, and also experience in secular employment, with the insight that that gives into everyday life and challenges faced by regular folk. Mark is supported by his home church, who gave their full backing for his calling, supported by his family, and crucially, by his wife, Debbie. He is a man confident in his calling, with a genuine and contagious enthusiasm for evangelism and youth work, and a strong desire to see God's church grow. We do, as a fellowship here, give God the glory in so equipping Mark for the role that he has undertaken. And we give God our thanks for guiding us in our decision making and leading Mark to us. Amen.
Now going to ask Mark to come and give his account of the call to the ministry at Hyde Street.
Well, what a day it is today, and I thank you for coming to support both myself and my family and the church here at Hyde Street. The road has been quite a long road to get to this point today. Having been saved around the age of 12, having been given to godly parents, the Lord continued to work in my life. Over the years following, I had an increasing desire to serve the Lord in some way, shape or form. I took every opportunity that I could to share the gospel and helped in youth works in the church, my home church at Belvedere. Went to CCIW camps to be a tent officer, where I was able to share Bible studies with the young people. These times, I'm sure, the Lord used to form me into the man that I am today. I believe that God calls men to ministry, and he uses all providentially in their lives to form the man to deliver the message of the gospel. And so I'm sure that those times enabled me and equipped me for this task, certainly in preparation for it. Now, I'm not a particularly academic man. I left school at 16 and went into the motor trade, where I stayed until I left 4 years ago to go to London Seminary. But nonetheless, it was many years ago that I first had a desire and burden to preach the gospel. I remember quite clearly it was at a Banner of Truth youth conference. I was there with a few others. I'm sure they don't remember this conversation. It probably had no significance to them whatsoever. But after, in one of the evenings, I opened up to them and I said, strangely, I feel a burden to preach. I didn't understand why. I didn't feel equipped to do so. And I certainly didn't pursue it at that time. I continued, though, to take any opportunity that came my way, and eventually there was an opportunity for some of us men to lead the church in Belvedere in the midweek Bible studies. This proved to be a very helpful and good training in the study of the Word and in teaching it, and was a great encouragement to me. It was around this time that our brother Jeff Gobbett came, who was a local retired pastor who was helping our church at that time to with the ministry, and he came on the Saturday mornings to teach some of us young men with the aim of teaching God's word both midweek and possibly with ministry in mind. That was the first taste, as it were, of formal training that I had, and I'm very, very thankful to him
We went through the book, Preaching Pure and Simple. There was homework and other studies involved, which was a great use to me and encouragement. The desire to preach the gospel and serve the Lord and his people never went away, but only increased. As the time went on, opportunities arose for me to preach at other local churches, but I felt that that would not be right to do so until I'd been tested at Belvedere with the preaching of the word. That time finally came one Christmas Day. Christmas Day fell on the Lord's Day, and in God's providence, the elder and secretary was unable to find a man to preach the gospel. And so I offered prayerfully my services, which were taken up, and that was the first time I preached on the Lord's Day. I was encouraged by the response, and then I went out regularly preaching the gospel in local churches. Eventually, a big moment happened when Tom Allen came to be the pastor of Belvedere, and he was a great encouragement to me and supported me in amazing ways, really. He gave a lot of time and prayer and support of me. He gave me feedback in my ministry. He took the time to take Debbie and myself through a book called Am I Called? And we prayerfully considered over the months whether I was truly being called to full-time ministry. I do strongly believe in the internal call of God on a man's life. I also believe in the external call of his church. And so I refused to move forwards, even though myself and my wife grew in conviction that this was the case. I refused to do so until I had confirmation from the church. And with that end in mind, I began preaching once a month on the Lord's Day. At the end of that time, the church formally recommended that I pursue seminary training with the aim for going into pastoral ministry at some point. It was in January 2021 that I first received an email from Richard Turner, the pastor of Hyde Street Chapel. This was quite out of the blue. I didn't know that they'd been listening to me online and prayerfully considering God's will. But after having received that email and checking them out on their website, as you do nowadays, I had a phone call with Richard and I came away very encouraged. We both were of one mind and I agreed to preach at Hyde Street. Unfortunately, that began with preaching online. If any of you preachers out there will, I'm sure, sympathise with me when you say you don't like preaching online. I was tentative to do so. I felt very encouraged after that conversation with Richard, and I didn't want to put any barriers in the way to make bad impressions, either from myself to the church or the church to myself. But nonetheless, I gave in and accepted to preach the word on Zoom. This was three times, and I was encouraged by that and accepted some further dates to preach God's word and finally being able to come and meet people in person and preach the word in person. This was a great blessing. Soon my family was able to come with me, and each time we felt very much at home, and the Lord encouraged us greatly with our times here. Over those periods we managed to get to know the church somewhat, some people more than others, but nonetheless it was good to get to know them. After a number of times preaching, we had some meetings which Mike spoke of, and after those meetings, certainly after the second one, I was more convinced than ever that the Lord was calling me to Hyde Street. It was when I was on holiday that I got the call from Richard Turner, the pastor, to let me know that the church had voted to call me here. My wife was somewhat disappointed because this distracted me from her birthday somewhat. But I thank the Lord very much for his grace to me and his leading through that time. And after much prayer and much consultation with men that I respect and admire, I, with the Lord's help, accepted the call to minister God's word, to shepherd the people here at Hyde Street. I do this knowing my own weakness and knowing my great need of the Lord's help. So I do ask you, please continue to pray for me and pray for the church here. I need it. I need the Lord. And I thank you for the prayers that you have already prayed.
We thank God that Christ is risen from the dead, and that when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. And one of those gifts we know that he gave is the gift of pastor teachers to his church, and we are thankful to hear of the way in which the Lord has provided such a man for the work here at Hyde Street, and how it is that Mark has been clearly led by the Lord, and the church also. We thank God for his providence, and for his overruling grace, and for his work in the church here, and also in Mark's heart. Well, we now come to the act of ordination and induction, and here we formally recognise Mark Higgins as being called to the Christian ministry. When we look at the Old Testament scriptures, we see that the prophets were not self-appointed, but were men of God, called and sent by God into the prophetic ministry. Likewise, the apostles were men converted by the grace of God, called into a particular ministry and sent forth by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find this principle applies to the minister of the word of God. Paul writes to Timothy and says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And that same process runs down to the ministers of the gospel. They are men who are converted, of course, enabled and gifted of God, the Holy Spirit, called of God into the ministry and recognized as such by the Church of Jesus Christ. As we have heard already, this call involves an internal work where the man called to the ministry knows an increasing burden and desire in his own heart to preach the gospel of grace and to minister to the flock of God. This is the work, the gospel minister to which Mark Higgins has been called by the Lord. Now, in recognition of God's call to Mark in a moment, we will have the laying on of hands. This act was something which clearly accompanied the calling of a man to the Christian ministry and was one of the marks of the New Testament church, as we have it in Scripture. Paul says to Timothy, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership." Now, we do not believe by the laying on of hands that we have power to impart gifts or the Holy Spirit to Mark. Yet we do believe it is something Scripture shows us is correct and which symbolizes that God has laid his hands upon a man and that the church recognizes that and that this brother is enabled and called and set apart to the work of the gospel ministry. I wonder if, Mark, you would come out once more into the pulpit. I have some questions for you. Do you believe that Christ in his word makes clear that he calls men individually into the Christian ministry?
I do.
Do you believe that that call has been made unto you and that you therefore have the concern and desire to preach the word of God and minister to those who are his people?
Yes, I do.
Is your desire solely for the glory of Christ and the advancement of his kingdom?
Yes.
Will you look to Christ and the help of his Spirit in all things for the grace and strength to do the work of the ministry, knowing that you are insufficient in yourself for this work, but that your sufficiency is from God?
Yes.
Will you seek to labour in season and out of season in this work, ever with a view to the last day, when you will give an account for the stewardship that Christ has entrusted to you?
I will.
As we come now to ordain Mark Higgins unto the ministry of the gospel of Christ and the word of God, we do so with the scriptures in our minds. 1 Timothy 6, But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honour and everlasting power. Amen. We now come to the laying on of hands. Pastors Mark Gladwell, Richard Turner, and Hal Roberts to come out to the front here. Pray together. Father, we pray that you would bless your servant Mark Higgins in the work to which you have called him as a minister of Christ. We look to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to bless and empower his servant with all sufficient grace for the work that Christ has called him to. We pray that he will ever be faithful to the gospel of Christ and the Holy Scriptures. We ask for the help and anointing of the Spirit on all his labours. May the Spirit give light in the word, power in the preaching, protection and grace when tested, strength when flagging, comfort when assailed by the wicked one, whether from within or without, faithfulness in temptation, wisdom, patience and grace in ministering to others and when sharing in the sufferings of Christ, and increasing godliness of life. May the Lord be pleased to use his servant to gather his elect and to further his kingdom. May the Lord have mercy and bless and encourage this minister of Christ. To God be all the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Having had the ordination, we now come to the induction to the ministry here at Hyde Street. And we've heard how the Lord has guided and confirmed this step of Mark coming into the pastorate here. We've heard both from the church and from Mark himself. We know that our King is already fulfilling his role and doing the work. It's later that there will be a public recognition. And in some ways, I'm not comparing Mark, as it were, to a king, but so here, Mark is already ministering in the work of Hyde Street Chapel in the ministry here, but today is the public recognition of that call by the church. So we'll be making promises. There will be making the promises and the vows by Mark and the church before us all here this afternoon. It's a bit like a marriage. It's not recognised in law, that public vows and promises are made by the incoming pastor and by the people. It's important, before we induct Mark to the ministry, we remind ourselves of the importance of the gospel ministry, something which is very much neglected today. We believe there is one holy, universal and apostolic church, the church for which the Lord Jesus shed his blood and which shall be presented to him without spot and without wrinkle. Each local church is a complete manifestation of the one universal church composed of those who are chosen by God the Father, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and who believe in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for salvation. And each congregation which is faithful to the Word of God is the Church of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ. The one and only head of the Church is the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone provides spiritual leadership for the proper ordering and guidance of the Church on earth. And yet Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, gave to his Church under-shepherds or pastors. Each local church is to have such men to oversee, but not to lord it over the flock of God. The Church sets them aside to give more time to the preaching and teaching, ministry and to pastoral duties as stewards of the Lord, to provide for the Lord's family and the Lord's flock. For this reason, the Church provides for them financially. 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honour, especially those who labour in the word and doctrine. 1 Corinthians 9:14, Paul says, even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Right from the beginning of the Christian church, the apostles made it clear that they were not to leave the work of preaching, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word, they said in Acts 6, verse 4. And the Bible clearly shows the high view placed on the preaching of the gospel and of the word of God. This is not an optional extra, something which can be taken up and put down again. It is a high honour to be called by God to such a ministry and to be a minister of the Church of Christ. And that stress on the preacher's high calling is seen in Isaiah 52, verse 7, which Paul quotes in Romans 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. I'm going to ask Mark to come out again, as I've got some further questions for him. Mark, do you believe in, confess and worship the only true and living God, the Holy Trinity of divine persons, in perfect unity, immutable, co-equal, co-eternal, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit, sovereign in creation, providence and redemption?
I do.
Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be complete, inspired and the inerrant word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and practice?
I do.
Do you believe that the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith is a faithful declaration of the teaching of God's Word?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe the system of doctrine as expressed in the statements of faith of Hyde Street Chapel, Winchester, is agreeable to the Word of God?
Yes.
Do you believe in your heart that God has truly called you to the pastoral oversight of this church and congregation?
Yes.
Do you conscientiously believe and declare, as far as you know your own heart, that in taking upon you this charge, you are influenced by a sincere desire to promote the glory of God and the good of the Church? Do you undertake to fulfil your charge faithfully, preaching and teaching God's Word, leading his people in worship, administering baptism and the Lord's Supper, caring for and visiting and tending the flock of Christ, and seeking to do the work of an evangelist, preaching the gospel of Christ in all its purity and richness? Do you solemnly promise to be faithful in secret prayer, in the study of the scriptures, and in other study necessary to fulfil your calling, so as to build up God's people in their faith, and to point sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be careful to maintain the deportment in all those respects, becoming a minister of the gospel of Christ? Can I now ask the members of High Street Chapel to stand? Some questions for the church here. Do the members of Hyde Street Chapel acknowledge and receive Mark Higgins as your elder and pastor? Do you undertake to recognise his authority as shepherd and pastor of the flock by virtue of his calling by the Lord and appointment to that office? Do you promise to give him your support by prayer and by regular gathering for worship? Will you uphold him in prayer as he strives to preach in season and out of season, being mindful of the struggles a minister faces as he seeks to rightly divide and prepare the word of God? Do you undertake to love him and his wife and his family? Will you submit to his ministry at every point where it is true to Scripture? Will you acknowledge that the labourer is worthy of his hire by regular giving as the Lord may enable? Do you promise to give him all due honour, support and encouragement, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and so work with him in your church life together so that God in Christ may be glorified in everything? Would all of the congregation now stand? Will you, the saints of God from other churches who are with us today, endeavour to keep Mark and the people of God here at Hyde Street Chapel in regular prayer, praying that they might be faithful and true to the word of God and the gospel, be united in love and grace towards each other, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, and that they might ever be those who are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and on behalf of this church here at Hyde Street, we declare you, Mark Higgins, to be appointed pastor of this church and congregation. We warmly welcome you into that role and work, and we pray that God will greatly help you, and that the Lord Jesus Christ will give you all sufficient grace to glorify him and to magnify his name. Please be seated. I'm now going to ask Reverend Hal Roberts, Pastor Hal Roberts, to come out and to lead us in prayer.
It's a great privilege, as simply one of the members of this church, to be involved in and to engage with this service of thanksgiving to God for his leading and the calling of a minister of the gospel and a pastor of the Lord's people. So let us turn to God. And let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the maker of heaven and earth, the God who has spoken in eternity and who has spoken through the prophets of Israel and spoken supremely through the person of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. It is in his name, O God, that we are gathered here on this particular afternoon, and for that in which we have been engaged. And we do pray, O Lord, that it may please you to receive our prayers, our praises, and our petitions. We acknowledge your goodness, your mercy in giving your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour and Redeemer. There is no other Saviour. There is none other but Jesus, the Son of God, who could redeem us from our sin. We thank you for the cross. Thank you for his atoning death and powerful resurrection from the dead. We thank you that so many of us gathered here this afternoon have been raised from the death of sin to the life of righteousness, and to live unto God all our days, and in expectation of the glory to come. And so it is that we come to thank you most particularly for giving us a new minister, a pastor, here to follow the faithful ministry and service of your servant, Richard Turner. We thank you for Mark Higgins and the way in which he has been prepared for the ministry, the way in which he has been called. And now we pray that he will fulfill his ordination vows, and he will do so in humble submission to the Lordship of Christ. We pray that he will exercise loving pastoral care of the Lord's people in this church and extend that into the community in which we are found. We pray that as members and worshippers at Hyde Street, that we would be supportive to Mark, to Debbie, his wife, and the children of the Higgins family. And we do so that we might be a loving fellowship, a fellowship of the Lord's people, always seeking the greater good within the bounds of the Reformed confessions of biblical Christianity, and extending the love of God in our life and in our witness to others, those who are outside of Christ, those in this city who are without God and without hope in the world. We pray that many in our day will seek you with all their hearts, and in doing so, that they may find you to be a merciful and a gracious God, one who pardons sinners, one who restores the backslider, one who heals the brokenhearted. This is the God with whom we have to do. This is the God whom we serve. And we pray, O Lord, that we may be enabled to do so and to continue to do so through the ministry and pastoral care of your servant. And so we pray now for the ministry this afternoon of your servant Mark Gladwell, and pray that it will be pertinent to the present need of the church and all who are gathered here. And as we look to the future, we pray that you will be greatly and wonderfully glorified on account of the work that you may be pleased to do through the ministry of your servant, who has now been ordained and inducted to this pastorate. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Amen.
Amen.
After our third hymn, Pastor Mark Gladwell, who was for some time Mark's pastor at Belvedere Church, will bring us the Word of God. Our third hymn is Father of Mercies, Bow Thine Ear, Attentive to Our Earnest Prayer.